just meet me in the middle. I'm losing my mind just a little.
It's time now for Setting the Record Straight on KOHI with Melinda Bernard. You can call the show now at 503-397-1600 or toll free at 877-397-1632. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KOHI, staff, management, or sponsors. Now, here's Melinda.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Friday. Welcome to Setting the Record Straight. We are going to talk today about how the insurrection at the Capitol and the violence in politics is rolling downhill into small communities, including our very own community. Joining me this morning for the conversation is Steve Sebelius. Steve is the politics and government editor for the Review Journal. And Greg Pettit. Greg is the Columbia County chair of the, the chair of the Columbia County Democrats. Welcome. Thank you both for joining me this morning. You know, I wanted to start off with some new information from what happened on January 6th. The Washington Post is reporting today that the mob was 1 minute and 100 feet away from Mike Pence. That's how close he came. Had that Capitol police officer that we've seen in the video had not drawn them away from the Senate, the vice president, his wife, his daughter, and his brother, who is also a congressman, would have been right in harm's way. That is how close they came. And I want to point out that a lot of the information that we're seeing now in the aftermath through interviews with some of the folks who have been arrested, they have told interviewers that they were there because the president invited them and that they really believed that the election was stolen. So today I want to talk about how much does the media have the responsibility. I mean, is the national media, and maybe even on some levels the regional media, responsible for this lie? People firmly believe that there's a cabal of folks who are pedophiles, that the Democrats are pedophiles, that they're cannibals, that they're trying to steal their election. These are real theories that people, including our own community, believe. And there has been some real fallout, clearly, as we've seen in the media and just the violence at our Capitol. So, Steve, I want to talk to you. What has changed in terms of your work in Las Vegas? Las Vegas is obviously a much larger region than Columbia County.
Yeah, this is a great question because I struggle with this all the time. We had the chairman of the Nye County Republican Central Committee, which is a mostly rural county adjacent to Clark County where Las Vegas is located, write a letter on the webpage for the party that insisted that President Trump would be inaugurated for another 4 years. The election had been stolen. The votes had been changed by satellite from Rome. And a number of other, Vice President Pence was a traitor, et cetera, et cetera. A number of other things. And, you know, as we were writing that up, I had the same dilemma that I've had with so many times. And that is, when people are talking about obviously false things, to what extent do you give them attention? To what extent do you write about them? Does writing about them tend to do more harm than good, in that it basically spreads the lie? I mean, more people saw that letter on the Review Journal's website and in the Review Journal's print edition than probably would ever have seen it had it just sat there on the Nye County Republican Party website. And so it's a struggle, constant struggle of you know, to what extent do you give this attention? And of course, when I wrote the story, along with some of our reporters, you know, I was clear to put in, this isn't true, here's why, link. You know, this isn't true, here's why, here's a link. But it seemed, you know, I felt even as I was doing that may not be adequate to correct the record. And then once that story was published, as I was the lead byline on it, of course, I began getting phone calls from people who were quite gifted at profanity, saying I should be burned at the stake, saying I should be shot, I was a traitor, just like Mike Pence, and all sorts of other things. And, you know, you blow those off being in journalism. You know, I don't think I, you know, if you're doing your job in journalism, you've probably been threatened with violence or death at least once, if not multiple times, sometimes for rather ridiculous reasons, sometimes not. But it just showed me that there is a large segment of people out there who do believe this stuff, and they believe it because this figure, this demagogic figure, this God Emperor who is Donald Trump, if he says it, they will believe it. And you know, I kind of was wondering, you know, to what extent are they responsible? I think they're responsible in the sense that there's no evidence for this. You have to willfully suspend your own faculties of reason to believe that the election was stolen. We shouldn't coddle that belief. We should call it out for what it is. It is false. It is a lie. It is untrue. And that's been proven time and time and time again. But there are people who trust Donald Trump and believe what he said. And I think we saw on January 6th where that leads and what the ultimate consequence is. You know, some people have odd beliefs, right? This is America. You and I are from California, right? So Californians, I mean, there's all sorts of beliefs there, right? And we're all live and let live. You know, people want to believe in angels who speak through cards, and people want to believe all sorts of crazy, different cultish things. Normally, it's no big deal. It's no big deal. If I believe in Bigfoot and you don't, well, it doesn't harm anybody, right? But these beliefs are of a wholly different nature. These beliefs have consequences and a body count. And it's really time, I think, for us to all take responsibility and to think, what role are we playing in perpetuating this? And what obligation do we have as members of the Fourth Estate to prevent this from happening? You know, we don't want to cover up news. We don't want to ignore things that are newsworthy that are happening. But at the same time, I think it's incumbent on us not to give voice to things that are false and perpetuate a delusion that could have real consequences for people, members of Congress, members of our profession, and the general public.
Thank you. My issue, that letter, that Nye letter, it's the amplification. It's not only just that was written and that you did your job as a journalist to bring that to other people's attention, but that theory was amplified because I read it on Twitter. And clearly I'm in Columbia County, you're in Las Vegas, yet I read that letter. Somebody put it on a social media platform, as so many of us do. We forward things, we retweet, or what have you, whatever platform you're on. And
I'm only sad that you didn't read that on the Review Journal. I can hook you up with a digital subscription. No problem, Melinda. We'll talk afterwards.
So, you know, and yeah, without being a subscriber, I was able to read this, and some folks put it up on Twitter because they thought, oh my gosh, look how insane this theory is. But there are a large group, at least 33% of Americans, who right now believe that Trump is doing a great job as president, and likely some of those folks are going to believe that theory. How it came to be is anyone's guess. It could have just been someone sitting down with a beer and thought, well, this sounds great. Let's see how far this gets me. Or it could have been somebody who heard it from their brother-in-law or their uncle or whatever and thought, I need to let the public know because they truly believe that this is an issue. So anyway, we're going to take a break. When we get back, we're going to talk to Greg about local politics and how the narrative is amplified. And also, I want to talk about what happens when these messages hit home and some of the threats that have hit Columbia County. So we'll be right back. There's more to come. This is Setting the Record Straight. We'll be right back.
Columbia River Carpet One in Rainier, Oregon is open for business, and we've taken the precautions of making everything safe. So if you want to come in to buy floor covering, now's the time at Columbia River Carpet One. We've got special prices on waterproof luxury tile. We stock it, and we have it on the special price right now from $1.99 a square foot. What a great buy. Carpeting, we've got several specials right now on carpeting where you can get the carpet installed with pad at one low price. So if you want to buy carpeting or you want to buy waterproof floors, you want to come to Columbia River Carpet One in Rainier, Oregon.
Spring Waters Farms is back every Wednesday with wild mushrooms and more for sale, just in time for your holiday meal planning. So visit Roger every Wednesday from 12 noon until 5 p.m. just in front of Artifacts at the riverfront in St. Helens. You'll enjoy the wide selection from world-famous Spring Waters Farms every Wednesday from noon to 5. And Roger has also now added a great selection of Christmas wreaths in front of Artifacts on the riverfront in St. Helens. And remember to shop Old Town St. Helens and the many merchants while you're there. For more info, 503-396-9766. And remember, wild mushrooms and more, including a great selection of Christmas wreaths in front of Artifacts on the riverfront in St. Helens. Need more mushrooms? Then every Sunday, Roger will also be set up at the Yankton Grange Sunday afternoons. Also, check out the supersized burger at the Yankton store. Mushrooms and more every Sunday at the Yankton Grange with Roger Conca.
Bill Eagle, I heard that Columbia County Rider has reduced their rates.
Yes, it's only $2 any place inside county.
What? $2 in county?
Only $2.
What about outside the county?
Okay, it's $3.
Okay, Bill, so that's $2 in county, $3 outside the county, and...
If you're a veteran, if you're a student, if you're a senior citizen, it's $1 in county and $2 outside of county. And that's CC Rider.
Why don't you just meet me in the middle? I'm losing my mind just a little.
It's Setting the Record Straight on KOHI with Melinda Bernard. Call the show now at 503-397-1600.
Why don't you just meet me in the middle?
And we're back. We're talking about journalism and the threat to journalism and the tenor of politics, the violence that has just absolutely permeated all the way down to the county level, starting with, I shouldn't even say start, but we're going to start at January 6th, at the insurrection at the Capitol, and what some of that fallout has been. Locally, you know, as a journalist, and Steve, you know this, you get threatened. Usually it's folks who are upset because you've maybe taken a councilman to task, or you were, you know, they didn't like your story about the school board, or they really want this park to be closed or open or whatever. And generally, as you said earlier, that is kind of just part of the deal, unfortunately. And it's been like that since, you know, we've been around for a while. But a local newspaper, and I am not going to identify the newspaper, received a different kind of letter this week. And rather than being upset by something locally, the writer was blaming the local newspaper, which, as we all know, covers hometown issues, school boards and city council, like I said, and business openings and feel-good stories about, you know, Eagle Scouts and that kind of thing. But this letter, the letter writer was so angry, they are blaming this local newspaper for Trump losing the election. And so what we have is this huge lie that's been amplified and amplified, and now it's coming home to roost in even our small community. And I'm not going to read the entire letter, but one of what this letter writer said is that, I pray someone on the street recognizes you and beats you senseless and then puts a bullet in your pea brain. And this, you know, I wish that I could say that, you know, threats were an uncommon issue, but this kind of threat is actually very unusual. The letter was sent to law enforcement, and but this sort of opens up why our local journalists being blamed for something that is a national conversation. And if I'm sure you both, Greg and Steve, were watching on January 6th and saw somebody scrawl into the side of the Capitol door, "Murder the media." You know, what do we do here? Greg, can we talk about, you know, local politics? I mean, do you feel like that our conversation locally, whether it's the Democrats or the Republicans, have reached such a tenor that it's come to this, or is it this a national conversation that's filtered down?
So to understand what's going on with intimidation of the media, as well as intimidation of a number of our elected officials, I've heard a number of reports where Republican representatives basically let it be known that they voted to not uphold the Electoral College votes because they were concerned about their safety or the safety of their family. To understand what this all is, I think we really need to go back and see how we got here. I'll start off with a basic premise that I've heard a number of people say, and I subscribe to, is that for a democracy to function, we have to operate on a common set of truths. And I think that is where a lot of this has started. It started clear back, I believe, in the 1980s when Ronald Reagan famously said, "The 9 most terrifying words in the English language are, 'I'm from the government and I'm here to help.'" And it was, I think, at that point where a political strategy came to try to make our own government, which is us, our enemy. So people were using our own government as a means of motivating people to support them for political reasons. And what we've seen since the 1980s is an explosion in income inequality and the wealth gap in the United States. And in a huge, hugely successful effort over the last 40 years by those with money to influence politicians to, as Bernie Sanders says, rig the system entirely in their favor. So that's kind of where it started, in the discrediting of government services, in the discrediting of authorities a long time ago. But it was still fairly operating on the principle that we all believed in the truth. And then if you move forward to, say, 1994 with the Gingrich resolution in the Congress, at that point you saw another kind of switch in political strategies, which was, we're going to kind of abandon the truth. We're going to start using narratives that are going to motivate our base to support us, and we're going to stretch the truth beyond the point. And about the same time, you started having the cable news networks come in. So you started having, now I grew up in a time when we all came home from school or we came home from work and we turned on the TV. We had ABC, NBC, CBS, and OPB or whatever to listen to. But they were all operating on basically the same set of principles. But with the cable news networks, with Fox News and now with Newsmax and OAN, people are literally living in their own realities. These people, they're not killing people because they think they're doing something wrong. They're not threatening to kill people. They're threatening to kill people because they think they are doing a righteous thing in order to protect our democracy, because they have been fed so much misinformation over the last 40 years that they're living in a completely different reality. Now, the news media has a critical role in addressing this issue, but I think they have. I remember when Trump first got elected, they would use all kinds of, they would never say he's lying. They would say, well, that's not consistent with the facts as we know it, or that's perhaps a misstatement or something like that. Now they're constantly saying, that's a lie. So they've come a long way, and I think a lot of the major news networks are telling the truth as best they can. But we're talking to ourselves within that group, because we have this 70 million people who support Trump. I don't think they watch the ABCs, or if they do, they don't believe any of it, because they watch, and I've got relatives and I've got friends who watch Fox News 12 hours a day. And if they're not watching Fox News, they're on their social media sites, and that's even worse. So you started off with the cable news networks, which became highly polarized. And then more recently, we've had the social media. So there's something called confirmation bias. So people tend to watch and believe and read things that confirms opinions that they've already had. And so this confirmation bias has become so great in this country that people honestly believe completely different sets of facts. And if we have a population that's divided over what the truth is, it's going to be very difficult for us to have a successful democracy operate. So that, I think, is the core of the problem. So then how do you fix that? Well, it's not going to be easy, and that's for darn sure. But I think we have to first at least recognize what the problem is. So how did that affect our politics here in Columbia County? Just in the 4 years I've been the chair of the Democratic Party in Columbia County, I have seen a huge change in how our politics in Columbia County have operated over the last 4 years. And it's basically been a move towards, and I want to say right flat out, I'm a Democrat, but I think it's the truth. I don't like this whataboutism, or it's the same on both sides. The Republicans and those even more far right than the Republicans have gone to this strategy that winning is more important than the truth. And I do not believe the Democrats have taken that approach. And so what we've seen here in Columbia County is the increasing intentional use of misinformation to persuade voters to support them. And I'll give a couple of examples. So Timber Unity has got a lot of support in Columbia County. Timber Unity-backed politicians won all of their races in Columbia County, in Clatsop County, in Tillamook County, and they have a very successful motto: supporting working families, fighting for working families is, I believe, what their motto is. And they have successfully put that out there. But much of the information they used to build up the support was based upon falsehoods, on flat out lies, in my opinion. They grossly exaggerated the adverse economic impacts of proposed environmental regulations, just totally made up information about how much costs were going to go up for gasoline, how many people were going to lose their jobs. There was absolutely no real hard data to back those things up, and then they use that misinformation to scare people into supporting them. And these people supporting them truly believe they're fighting to protect our middle class jobs in the rural counties like Columbia and Clatsop and Tillamook County. But they've accepted, the general population has accepted this idea that this stuff is going to cost jobs and incomes. And once they've accepted that, then everything they do as a result of that is justified in their minds.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Greg. So Steve, what about this? What about the getting folks to believe one falsehood and then piling on top of the falsehoods? Have you noticed that happening in Vegas or through your readers? Have you noticed, do you have a comment section anymore on the Register Guard?
The Review Journal did away with its comment section a long time ago. For good reason. It was trash. And I've said this many times before, maybe even on your show before, Twitter is a cesspool of hatred and bile that really is of no use to anyone. But I think Greg has hit on what I think is the core issue that we're dealing with. And I think more and more people are starting to realize it, that we now are living in a society that's not just politically divided, but rather a society that's divided into two completely different tribes that have completely different narratives, so that one person believes something that is totally opposite of what the other side believes. Mitch McConnell, on the Senate floor on January the 6th, before the riot happened, was telling his fellow Republicans, we cannot continue to live like this, where we have two sets of truths, two tribes, and the only thing we have in common is our hatred for each other and disdain for the institutions that we all hold in common. But yet, I think that's exactly what is going on. And I think of all the problems that we face, that's one of the most fundamental that needs to be addressed and fixed. You know, I think Joe Biden's great advantage in coming in is that he is normal where Trump is abnormal. He is a regular guy where Trump is highly irregular. And we're going to get back to arguments over marginal tax rates and defense spending and things that we used to argue about and think it was a hammer and tongs on that before we realized it could get so much worse. But even with Joe Biden's efforts to reach out across the aisle and to restore a sense of normalcy to the Capitol, until we address this duality of our society, this duality of our two disparate realities, I don't think we're going to be able to move forward as a country. Until we can establish a respect for the truth, I don't think we're going to get anywhere, no matter what Joe Biden or any other politician does.
Thank you. We are going to take a quick break. We get back, we're going to talk about that truth. And before, I just want to leave you with a quote from Mitt Romney. He got on the floor on January 6th after the riot and said, "We can no longer continue this. If you want to help Americans understand, you need to tell them the truth." And I thought that was really a turning point, but nobody, that didn't really seem to have the impact that I think Mitt was hoping it would. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. We come back. There's more to this discussion. Stay with us. This is Setting the Record Straight.
Columbia River Carpet One in Rainier, Oregon is open for business, and we've taken the precautions of making everything safe. So if you want to come in to buy floor covering, now's the time at Columbia River Carpet One. We've got special prices on waterproof luxury tile. We stock it, and we have it on the special price right now from $1.99 a square foot. What a great buy. Carpeting, we've got several specials right now on carpeting where you can get the carpet installed with pad at one low price. So if you want to buy carpeting or you want to buy waterproof floors, you want to come to Columbia River Carpet One in Rainier, Oregon.
Spring Waters Farms is back every Wednesday with wild mushrooms and more for sale, just in time for your holiday meal planning. So visit Roger every Wednesday from 12 noon until 5 p.m. just in front of Artifacts at the riverfront in St. Helens. You'll enjoy the wide selection from world-famous Spring Waters Farms every Wednesday from noon to 5. And Roger has also now added a great selection of Christmas wreaths in front of Artifacts on the riverfront in St. Helens. And remember to shop Old Town St. Helens and the many merchants while you're there. For more info, 503-396-9766. And remember, wild mushrooms and more, including a great selection of Christmas wreaths in front of Artifacts on the riverfront in St. Helens. Need more mushrooms? Then every Sunday, Roger will also be set up at the Yankton Grange Sunday afternoons. Also, check out the supersized burger at the Yankton store. Mushrooms and more every Sunday at the Yankton Grange with Roger Konka.
Bill Eagle, I heard that Columbia County Rider has reduced their rates.
Yes, it's only $2 any place inside county.
What? $2 in county?
Only $2.
What about outside the county?
Okay, it's $3.
Okay, Bill, so that's $2 in county, $3 outside the county, and...
If you're a veteran, if you're a student, if you're a senior citizen, it's $1 in county and $2 outside of county. And that's CC Rider.
Why don't you just meet me in the middle? I'm losing my mind just a little.
It's Setting the Record Straight on KOHI with Melinda Bernard. Call the show now at 503-397-1600.
Why don't you just meet me in the middle? We're talking about journalism and the violence that happened in our nation's capital, some of the violence that has happened all over the country at state capitals, and what that means for local journalists, regional journalists, and just politics in general. And joining me this morning is Columbia County Chair Greg Pettit and Steve Sebelius. Steve is the politics and government editor at the Review Journal. Once again, thank you so much for taking the time. So before we went to break, we were talking a little bit about what happened at the nation's capital. Also, I want to remind our listeners that on December 21st, the Oregon State House, our Oregon Capitol, there was a huge protest that protesters were let into the building by Representative Mike Nierman, who is currently under investigation by the Oregon State Police for his actions. That ended up with several, many troopers being maced and folks getting into like an inner vestibule, but then they were pushed out. So the FBI is warning that they're expecting violence at all 50 state houses this weekend and going through potentially through the inauguration date, which is next Wednesday, January 20th. So how do we cover this? We need to get the message out that this is happening. Of course, we don't want to amplify or encourage protesters. We don't want to encourage violence. And we were talking about, and Greg, I think you mentioned it, sort of the whataboutism. Steve and I came up through journalism about the same time, and we were taught you always give two sides of the story, or maybe four sides of the story. You know, if you're in a covering a court case, a gang trial, there's more than two sides really to these stories, right? You could get an angle from everyone. So if you're covering a city council, it was always about policy, right? You know, maybe the school board is going to talk about sex education, so you would talk to people on both sides. But now, especially on television, and Steve, you were like a political spokesperson for a Vegas television station. What about this dual side when clearly one side is based in conspiracy theories or straight up lying? Do you think that that's led to some of this issue?
Yeah, I do. I think the training that we get in journalism school and the training and the expectations of our jobs are that we be fair to both sides and accurately depict, you know, what both sides are saying. And a lot of people, I think, feel like, well, I'm going to interview the Democrat and then I'm going to interview the Republican. And the Democrat is going to say, isn't this capital violence terrible? President Trump instigated it with his comments. He's despicable. We should impeach him and that's it. And then we interview the Republican, and the Republican says the election was stolen. Trump is right. He should be inaugurated for another 4 years. This cabal of evil Democrats is stealing our country. And you look at that, and those two things are not equivalent. Those two things are not equivalent. It's not doing your job as a journalist to balance truth with falsehood. That's not it. And so I think a lot of times, you know, we struggle with that. As I said, we struggle with this idea of you know, how much weight to give to something that's obviously, frankly, not true, and what our obligation is. You know, we need to tell people what Bob Woodward said, the best obtainable version of the truth. But at base, it has to be the truth. And if somebody is lying, no matter how deeply they believe it, let's just pause here to say one thing. No matter how many people believe a false thing, whether it's 50%, 75%, 95%, if it's false, it's still false regardless of the number of people that believe it. And the fact that they have this belief, while that's something that we need to take into consideration in terms of policy, it does not establish that thing as a true thing. It is still false, no matter how many people believe it. And so this whole idea that, and Trump is one of his favorite phrases, many people are saying that this is true. Well, I don't care how many people are saying he won the election. It is false. He did not win the election. And the fact is, I think a minority of people believe that. But even if the majority believed it, it's still not true. And believing that lie is corrosive to democracy. And so it's incumbent on us to find out what that truth is. You know, John Milton had the famous quote, you know, who knew truth put to the worse in a free and open exchange? Well, John Milton never met Donald Trump. And there are hands going up all across the country now saying, well, I think I knew. It's a sad state of affairs we find ourselves in, where people cannot accept reason and truth. And I think, you know, how do you cure it? I think part of it is education. You have to, you know, we haven't been rigorous enough about teaching critical thinking skills and teaching people to discern what is true and what is false, what makes sense, what doesn't. How do you establish something is true? Evidence and reason and logic. Those things are gone. We also you know, Greg mentioned the political origins of this. The policy origins too may be back in Reagan's years, when mental health services were de-emphasized and cut, and we stopped treating mental health as an urgent public problem. And now we're seeing, you know, people dressing up in horns and furs and invading the Capitol. You can't tell me that there is not a mental health component to that action. There is, and people are somehow not getting the care that they deserve. So it's a lot of those things are wrapped up. But I think at base, our obligation is to always tell people the truth, and to repeat lies only in the sense of exposing them and explaining why they're not true. Now, the whole thing about the cabal and the cannibals and the pedophiles meeting in the basement of a pizza place, I really, at that point, don't know what investigative methodology would be enough to convince people. You know, you quoted Mitt Romney earlier, right before he said what you quoted him as saying. He said there are people who will never believe that the election was not stolen, particularly because the president keeps telling them that it was. And so I don't know how you deal with that. You know, you don't want to, you know, we always say, we're not gonna leave anybody behind. We're not gonna leave anybody out in America. We're all in this together. But for people who consciously divorce themselves from reality, I don't know how we integrate them back into a society that they can participate in fully if they intentionally, you know, direct their attention to things that aren't true and really embrace that and marinate themselves in that for, as Greg said, watching Fox for 12 hours a day and then following that up with the nightcap of social media.
Right, which brings me to you, Greg. How do we in the county move forward to work with our partners on the other side to, you know, I will say that when you work with folks in Columbia County, you see them, you know, at Fred Meyer, you see them at the post office. We work together on all kinds of other projects, whether it's for schools or soil and water conservation or parks. But this is becoming, this is dividing our community. It already has divided, but what do we do now? How do we move forward and reach out to folks to see if we can make our community better in the light of all this?
So I'd like to approach that question from a couple of different angles. I think we have to recognize that we cannot completely isolate ourselves or make ourselves immune from what's going on at the national scale with regard to politics. And that's what I was earlier talking about, how I've seen that seep into our local politics over the last 4 years more. But I do think there is a positive angle that we could go. And it's been my experience that if we can get groups of people in the local community to sit down, maybe first we should have them agree on a set of principles, like we're going to try to identify our common interests. We're going to try to identify what it is we want to get out of these various policy decisions. Honestly and objectively, what's at stake. And then get those people talking about what the decisions are to be made and how those decisions could impact their lives and what the cost would be and what the benefits would be, and start working together. I have found that if we can do that at the local level on a very specific basis, that we might find that we have a lot more in common than divides us. And I've mentioned this before, but about 4 years ago or so, we had a joint meeting here, and this was before this polarization really blew up, but we still had a joint meeting with the Republicans and the Working Families Party, where we sat down and we tried to talk about, you know, what did we believe, what were the goals for our party, and what were some of the things that we could agree on. And we actually had a whole bunch of things that we could agree on. We agreed on support for our veterans. We agreed on support for our education system, strong and successful schools. We agreed on mental health issues in Columbia County and how that needed to be addressed, and as it was related to drug abuse problems in Columbia County. We agreed, probably strongest of all, on some kind of campaign finance reforms to get the terrible influence of big money out of a political situation. So when we actually started talking about very specific things, we actually found that we could agree on quite a few things. And I think that's probably the biggest hope.
Okay. All right. Well, that's great. You know, and I think that's where we need to start. And I will mention that even at the state level, while the Democrats do have a supermajority, oftentimes I would say 95% of the bills are voted, they're bipartisan bills that are passed. It's only a few, literally, not even maybe 5%. And obviously those are the ones that garner attention, but most of the legislation is bipartisan. So I think we do have more common ground if we can just cool the national conversation. So we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk about journalism moving forward. Where do we go from here? So stay with us. There's more to get to. We'll be right back.
Columbia River Carpet One in Rainier, Oregon is open for business, and we've taken the precautions of making everything safe. So if you want to come in to buy floor covering, now's the time at Columbia River Carpet One. We've got special prices on waterproof luxury tile. We stock it, and we have it on a special price right now from $1.99 a square foot. What a great buy. Carpeting, we've got several specials right now on carpeting where you can get the carpet installed with pad at one low price. So if you want to buy carpeting or you want to buy waterproof floors, you want to come to Columbia River Carpet One in Rainier, Oregon.
Spring Waters Farms is back every Wednesday with wild mushrooms and more for sale, just in time for your holiday meal planning. So visit Roger every Wednesday from 12 noon until 5 p.m. just in front of Artifacts at the riverfront in St. Helens. You'll enjoy the wide selection from world-famous Spring Waters Farms every Wednesday from noon to 5. And Roger has also now added a great selection of Christmas wreaths in front of Artifacts on the riverfront in St. Helens. And remember to shop Old Town St. Helens and the many merchants while you're there. For more info, 503-396-9766. And remember, wild mushrooms and more, including a great selection of Christmas wreaths in front of Artifacts on the riverfront in St. Helens. Need more mushrooms? Then every Sunday, Roger will also be set up at the Yankton Grange Sunday afternoons. Also, check out the supersized burger at the Yankton store. Mushrooms and more every Sunday at the Yankton Grange with Roger Konka.
Bill Eagle, I heard that Columbia County Rider has reduced their rates.
Yes, it's only $2 any place inside county.
What? $2 in county?
Only $2.
What about outside the county?
Okay, it's $3.
Okay, Bill, so that's $2 in county, $3 outside the county, and...
If you're a veteran, if you're a student, if you're a senior citizen, it's $1 in county and $2 outside of county. And that's CC Rider.
Why don't you just meet me in the middle? I'm losing my mind just a little.
It's Setting the Record Straight on KOHI with Melinda Bernard. Call the show now at 503-397-1600.
We're going to wrap up our conversation this morning with the politics and government editor of the Review Journal, Steve Sebelius, and Columbia County's Democrat chair, Greg Pettit. And I want to talk about accountability in journalism, not just for journalists, but for our new emerging citizen journalists. So, Steve, if you were to write a story, or when you write a story, you have to have sources, you have to have documentation, you have to have evidence. If it's something really groundbreaking, you are held accountable. But if Greg were to decide to get onto social media and put anything, any outlandish, outrageous, and a lie, there's no accountability for what we would consider citizen journalists. What do we do about that? Steve, I want to start with you.
Yeah, you're right. There is a lack of accountability. I mean, I think to a certain extent, you know, I see people on Facebook who are friends, and sometimes I wonder how that happened, saying, you know, outrageous things. And I have a habit now of when I see people peddling these conspiracy theories, I quietly go and unfriend them because, you know, I don't need to see that. And that, to a certain extent, is a form of accountability. But I think in most cases, it works in the opposite direction. As you said earlier, Melinda, that, you know, the more outrageous you are, the more followers you get. The president of the United States had millions of followers on Twitter before Twitter permanently suspended his account. I think, especially in recent years, as journalism has become more digital, we have adopted more of a show your work type culture. In other words, I'm writing a story, but I'm not just saying, hey, trust me on this story. I'm saying, You know, here is what I'm saying, and here's why I'm saying it. Here's a link to this particular previous story that we wrote. Here's a link to, you know, here is embedded in the story, the court document. You can read for yourself how the judge ruled that the election was properly conducted. You know, don't trust me. I'm saying it. I'm also proving to you how and why I'm saying it so that you can trust that what I'm saying is true. And I think that's something we can demand of anyone who is purporting to spread information. You know, I've confronted many people when I've gotten Facebook messages that are, you know, you see some outlandish thing and they've sent it to you through Messenger. And so, of course, you do the quick Google search and there on Snopes or factcheck.org, you come up and it says, this is a common scam. This is ridiculous. It's not true. And I always respond to the person who, you know, basically said, you know, tell your friends about this, spread it on. I respond and say, no, I'm not going to spread it on, and I'm not going to spread it on because it's untrue. And here's why I'm telling you it's untrue. Here's the link to that. And I invariably will get, oh, well, you know, I didn't know. This was passed on to me by my uncle or my friend, and I just wanted to pass it on to people. I didn't realize it wasn't true. And that, I think, is what separates, you know, actual journalists, actual trained journalists, and actual people who want to be good citizen journalists from regular folk, which is, before we pass it on, we check it out to see if there's any truth to it. We don't just pass things on. The one thing a journalist should never say on Twitter, and I've seen it grates on me every time I see it, is when someone says, if true, this is a big story. Well, no, there's no if true. You should know whether or not it's true before you put it out. If you can't say it's true, then you have no business reporting it or passing it on or referring to it in any way publicly. You got to check it first. That's the optimum time to find out if something is true before you report it.
I want to go to a point that Greg made earlier about a local group here, Timber Unity, and they had a closed Facebook group so folks could join it. And they could say whatever they wanted. It wasn't open to media unless the media had joined before they got big. And what some of the information that they had put out had questionable documentation. And Greg pointed out that this got a whole 80,000 people were on this Facebook group, right? And so they're reading information that may not have been vetted by a traditional source. Right, Greg?
Yeah. You know, one of the things, getting back to the accountability issue, I do think that accountability is absolutely critical, again, in terms of having a successful democracy. And we've seen where, I don't care if it's the protesters in Portland or the demonstrators at Washington, D.C., when we don't hold people accountable for their actions, how that can quickly get out of control. And I think at the bringing it down to the local level, I would like to see our locally elected politicians speak truth to some of these organizations. I know that we have people here in Columbia County who do not believe all the stuff. They know that the stuff that they see on these Facebook pages is wrong and whatnot, but they are intimidated. They have their political future at stake, so they're intimidated from a political point of view, and they're intimidated from going against the truth. And I'd like to see some of our locally elected politicians have the courage to stand up and in a tactful way say, I understand where you're coming from, but I think that your understanding of this situation is based upon misconceptions, and then point out perhaps where they're in error. But I think that would be extremely helpful in helping us hold people to the truth here in Columbia County. I'm not sure any other way of doing that. But when they don't do that, or when they laugh, or they nod like, you know, when somebody makes a statement in a public meeting that's outrageous and they laugh, or they're kind of condoning that statement or saying, yeah, I agree with that. Even though if you ask them directly, they would say, oh, I would never agree with that. I'll take climate change as an example. We had a forum here on climate change, and we had our local politicians, and there was lots of misinformation being put out there. Nobody said anything against it, and they were acting like they were agreeing with it. And yet, so when you talk to them individually, if you ask them directly, they'd say, no, I don't agree that climate change is a hoax. So That's the kind of behavior of the public.
So it's politically expedient, and we're seeing that on a national level.
Right.
All these Republicans who, they just let Trump's lies fly because it got them followers, it got them money, it got them campaign donations, it got them voters. And it took someone like Romney, who I would not say that Mitt Romney is by any stretch of the imagination a liberal. I would say he's square in the conservative GOP camp, but I would say he's part of probably the old guard GOP. And for him to stand up and say, we need to tell them the truth, Trump did not win the election, Joe Biden won the election, that is the God's honest truth. And people are like, you're a traitor. It's too late. That message is too late. And we have, then there's that group of Republicans who are digging their heels in, and they're going along with it no matter what. So it lends, you know, there's no accountability. And so those folks who truly in their heart were there on January 6th because they thought that our democracy is being taken over by pedophiles and cannibals and people who, you know, are not, don't have our country's best interests at heart, they've truly believed it. And I don't know if they'll ever not believe it. I mean, and the accountability rests square with the people who have been amplifying that voice. And that it includes, I believe, the national media, as we've talked, because they will have, I watched CNN the other day, you know, what do you say when you have clearly insurrection, and then sometimes they're calling them rioters or protesters. They called them protesters. I wouldn't say those are protesters. It's that kind of language that continues this whole concept.
Yeah, there were people holding signs and shouting slogans. They are protesters. The people who went into the Capitol are rioters. They're vandals. They're criminals. And who ended up, you know, assaulting Capitol police officers. One of whom was in the final death of irony at the end of the Trump years, was assaulted with a flagpole upon which was a thin blue line flag, assaulting a police officer with that flag.
One of the officers was killed.
Yeah, and one of the officers was killed as a result of being beaten with a fire extinguisher. So there's a distinction, you know, to be made there. But it's a kind of a thin distinction, I think.
Right. So we have about 1 minute. Any last thoughts, Greg?
So we got a huge problem in front of us, and a monster has been created. A Frankenstein has been created. We got some people like Romney and Murkowski who have realized that this monster is now out of control and could destroy the Republican Party and have a huge negative impact on democracy in America. And so it's been a huge problem. It's been tens of years in the making, and it's not going to go away overnight. But I think we got to figure out how we can work on truth. We got to figure out how we can work on making social media more accountable. We got to figure out how we can start working together at the local level on real issues. If we do all those things, those small steps, I think it's going to be moving us back towards the democracy that we all love for this country for.
Great. Thank you, Steve.
Yeah, I agree with that 100% and associate myself with the remarks of the gentleman from Columbia County.
All right. Well, listen, I want to thank you both for taking the time again to talk with us. This is it for us this week. We'll be back next Friday. Have a great week. Stay safe. This has been Setting the Record Straight.
Why don't you just meet me in the middle? I'm losing my mind just a little.
You've been listening to Setting the Record Straight with Melinda Bernard on KOHI. Listen again next Friday here on AM 1600. You can email the show, kohi.radio@gmail.com, or email Melinda, strsradio@gmail.com.